Hi, and welcome to episode 10 of Hot Springs This Week. I'm glad you're here. When Bill Barnes was 5 years old, his father took him fishing at a newly formed lake here in Arkansas. Formed by the construction of what is now Blakely Dam, Lake Washita wasn't even full the first time he dropped a line in that lake. On that same lake today, you'll find one of the most popular resorts in Arkansas. It's Mountain Harbor. Today, Bill Barnes owns and operates the Mountain Harbor Resort on Lake Washita, and you'll hear from him coming up.
Hot Springs This Week, a look at things to do and people to meet in Hot Springs, America's first resort.
This is Hot Springs This Week for the week of August 12th. For many who are edging up to back-to-school time, Labor Day weekend is just around the corner, so Jennifer Bailey and I will run down the list of things you can enjoy in the coming weeks later in this episode. But first, Mountain Harbor. As you'll hear, there are generations of people who have been going to Mountain Harbor's resort on Lake Washita, but even many of those folks may not know the story of how that popular spot on the lake came to be. So let's meet Bill Barnes.
So let's start at Mountain Harbor with a little history about how it all began and when.
Neil, it started in 1954. Just kind of a brief history. My dad was from Oklahoma, my mother from Malvern. Dad graduated from the University of Arkansas in 33 with a degree in law. He and a gentleman from Malvern named Caldwell Watson married women, my mother being one, that were best friends in Malvern. So after college, through the Depression, Dad struggled, ended up selling shoes. And in 54, when Dad brought my mom to Malvern to see her folks, for my brother and I to visit our grandparents, Caldwell said, "Hal, let's go fishing on this new lake that is filling called Washita." So I still remember, I was five. Dad and Caldwell took me to Brady Mountain. Colonel Reed Landis, again a colonel from World War II, was the first resort builder on the lake. And we went fishing out of Brady Mountain when the lake was about, half full, maybe 40% full. And Caldwell said, "You know, Hal, there are leases still available on this lake. Why don't you apply for one and I'll run it for you?" So Dad applied for a lease, was awarded the Joplin site, and started Mountain Harbor with 100 fishing boats and four stalls. Interestingly enough, the way Mountain Harbor got its name, Dad was sitting on the lake looking up at Hickory Nut Mountain. The fire tower was up there with a couple that were our next door neighbors in Denver, where we lived at that time, Frank and Jane Button. And Jane said, "You know, Hal, your place is just a mountain harbor." And that's where Mountain Harbor came from.
So let's fast forward to today. How do you describe Mountain Harbor today in terms of size, what you do, all of those sorts of things?
Oh, Neil, I think when I speak about Harbor today and when I visualize it, what I am so proud of is that we are a village. We're a resort. You know, I have a mortgage payment to make. But we are serving the fourth generation of our customers. I am hosting the great-grandchildren of the kids I played with when I was a little kid. And we have evolved from a resort with, the Corps-approved mobile home parks as part of the original leases back in the 50s. So each resort on the lake has a mobile home park. And that was the only way that you could have a place on the lake. So that's the way they all started. But Harbor, through the Harbor East condominiums and the Harbor South residential area and Hickory Ridge that was developed by the Dirks family, and then Harbor East and Harbor South that were part of the land that they once owned before they sold to Weyerhaeuser, has evolved where it really is a little village. We've got about 100 people that live there all the time, and We've grown from 4 boat stalls and 100 fishing boats, and that's kind of an interesting story that I'll tell you in a minute about my dad in Caldwell and the competition for fishing boats. But we now are at about 1,500 boats that we store, and with the homes and the condos that are built there, and if you figure the houseboats that are over 70 feet and you call all of those things residences, there are about 900 residences between the lake and the highway.
How about hotel rooms? Is that included in that?
No. The harbor is basically 3 areas of lodging now. The original lodge restaurant that was built in 58 by my dad, where we still serve, you know, harbor cheeseburgers and all that good stuff. And the 12 guest rooms that Dad built initially, along with cottages and one-room cabanas on what we call the hill or at the lodge, was the original lodging area. And then as the Harbor East condominiums developed and evolved, we were asked to manage some of those for their buyers. It was not something that was in my grand plan at that point, but so we accommodated that, and we started managing some of the condominiums. There are 188 condos over there now, and on any given year, we'll manage about 30. A lot of the original owners now have paid off their notes, and the kids are grown and gone, so they've taken them off rental. And then we started Harbor North, which is part of our leasehold, in 99. I hadn't built any new lodging units because we were absorbing and managing so many of the condos. And I didn't want to create intentional competition for the condo owners. As the number of condos reduced, we went back into the lodging business. So we started building additional cottages in 99-2000 based on the requests of our customers. You know, the easiest thing about this business is you don't try to invent the wheel again. You just listen to what your customers ask for.
I need a Sunday on the lake. Oh, 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 oh. I need a Sunday on the lake.
So is Mountain Harbor still on leased land to this day?
All of the resorts on Ouachita are on core leases. The original leases for the original lessees, like my dad, were 25-year with an automatic renewal option for 25 more, and then 25-year renewals after that. So we are on our third 25-year lease for the leasehold part of it. Harbor's about 900 acres. About 400 plus is leasehold. That's where the marina basins are located, the marine repair, the lodge, you know, all of that area, the mobile home park. The other areas were part of a tract that the Dirks family owned that when Weyerhaeuser bought them out in the 70s, we were able to buy that property because it was such a tiny part of the Weyerhaeuser acquisition. They just frankly didn't care about it. So originally, I was able to buy 66 acres that are now the Harbor East condominium area and 12 residential lots. The remainder of the tract, which was about 450 acres, Weyerhaeuser put up for sale as a tract of land. They didn't have any takers. They got ready to clear cut it. And they were thoughtful. They're a timber company and they're in the timber business. But their land man for the area came to me and said, "Bill, if we can't sell this to somebody, we're going to clear cut it and then just sell it off for junk land and whatever tracts we can." So I scrambled around. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I mean, and I was scared to death. I didn't have a dollar because, you know, every penny went to pay the note for Mountain Harbor. So I scrambled around and was able to put together a partnership. We were able to buy the rest of the Weyerhaeuser tract and turn it into Harbor South. Now, you know, we didn't have the money to hold it, but this way at least we could design the subdivision, control where things went, and protect the trees. So Harbor South is 237 residential lots. There are about 167 homes up there now, and more building. Both Harbor East and Harbor South have been sold out since the early 90s. So both properties are sold out. There are resales both in lots and in condos, but that's how Harbor's evolved. About 450 acres of private property that adjoins the leasehold.
So for most people, when they think about Harbor, it's all about recreation and Lake Washita. So let me go back to your father for a moment. Do you think there's ever a time where he would have envisioned Mountain Harbor getting as big as it is now?
I don't think so. You know, I don't think there's a son around that doesn't think about his dad if his dad's gone and say, I wish I'd shared this or I wish I could have asked that. But when I started Harbor East, interest rates were 14-15%. And I started it with I sold the lots to make the money to build the road to the lots. I didn't have any money. And got permission to build. Well, we had to work with health and we had to get water and all that good stuff. And started the first fourplex, and my dad was furious. Neil, he was so upset with me. He said, Bill, you are going to lose Mountain Harbor. This is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. He was so upset with me. He wouldn't go over to Harbor East and look at the development, would not ride with me for almost 2 years, refused to go over, wouldn't speak to me for a while. And I was going, man, have I really made this big a mistake? Am I really going to lose Mountain Harbor? I was scared.
But obviously it all worked out okay.
Through the grace of God and lots of good friends and customers that believed in me, you know, I had a rendering and a dream. And we started with one fourplex condo. And I remember at one point during that first fourplex, interest rates hit 21%. I just, you know, my voice still falters when I think about that. But there were people that bought them that could pay cash for them, and we started building additional buildings. And, I mean, Harbor East went through some real tough times, but what's so wonderful about that and the folks up in Harbor South that are lot owners and, frankly, the people that rented slips, there were so many years, Neil, when, I mean, it was a struggle to stay alive from 1 year to the next. It was a struggle. I remember times when I couldn't buy new lumber to replace decking on docks, and I would go find scrap plywood and stuff like that just to patch a hole. And folks stayed with me. They believed in me. They believed in Harbor, but especially I think they loved Lake Washita, the uniqueness and the pristineness of Lake Washita.
And that brings me to where I was going to go anyway. That is that what makes it special has to be Lake Washita. What is it about Lake Washita that makes it so popular?
I think the best way to describe what I think is most special about Lake Washita, when Dad finished the lodge in 58, I would walk up to the lakeside window and look across the lake at what is, for folks that know Washita, the Point 17 area, which is due north across the lake. And you know, Neil, I can walk up to that same window, look across at that same area, and it looks the same as it did then. Washita is so unique and special because it isn't residentialized. Now, that's not a criticism of Lake Hamilton or Grouse Ferry or Beaver or anything. They're gorgeous homes on those lakes, and the wonderful serenity that those homes provide for their owners. But Washita is literally still a wilderness lake. You can, on the 4th of July, because of how irregular the shoreline is, you can go out on the lake, find a cove, and hide out from the world and really be by yourself over there. Washita, because it's so big, because only 2.5% of the shoreline's developed, because it's still rated by EPA, I think, as one of the two cleanest lakes in the nation, is that alternative to an urban lake where you really can just get away from the whole world for a day or a weekend or a week.
Let's come back to the Mountain Harbor Resort and talk about some numbers a little bit. How many employees do you have, and what's the difference between season and off-season?
Whether I make the mortgage payment or not, that's the difference. We have 60, right at 60, on permanent staff. We have a maintenance department. We have a construction department. We have a marina maintenance department. We have guest care. We have the management team. All those folks are full-time employees year-round. Then we bolster that staff with about another 60 in the summer. Wonderful kids that work at the marina, you know, grounds kids, restaurant staff, bussers and washers and servers and cooks. So we about double in the summer. And, you know, there are really three seasons, Neil. Used to, there were two. There was a three-month summer season from Memorial Day to Labor Day when schools were out. Fishing was always a really, really big component of Lake Washita's popularity. For the first, 30 or 40 years, it was in the top 10 bass lakes in the United States. So it just drew lots of anglers, and then they introduced stripers. So we really have three seasons now. We have the peak summer season, which, because of when schools start now, has been shortened to about 9 weeks, which makes it pretty tough. But that's when families come. That's when our occupancy numbers are the best. The shoulder seasons, March, April, May, late September, October, early November, we do a lot of empty nesters, snowbirds from up north, corporations and organizations that use us for retreats and seminars. So and then a lot of fishermen. You know, a lot of the fishing goes on spring and fall. We have great guides. The dead of winter is when we're slowest. The restaurant closes the Monday after Thanksgiving and reopens weekends in February. Gives us a couple of months to just take everything out of the kitchen and steam clean and repaint and all that. So summer is biggest. The shoulder seasons are corporate retreat, empty nesters, fishing, and the dead of winter. We still have some business now. It's more than it used to be, where I could stand out in the road for a day and not see a car. But and those folks are coming just to get away, just to recharge. I think what's so special and something that I am so proud of about Harbor will always be very casual, Neil. You know, there's nothing pretentious about us at all. We just want to be a sanctuary. And I think more and more, as I talk to friends, old friends, new friends, we are a sanctuary. We are a place where they can just get away from the stress of their normal work week and breathe. And wish I could be the lake that you're swimming in.
Bill, you've mentioned making the mortgage three or four times so far. I hadn't counted. But you also mentioned earlier in our conversation about serving now fourth generation of families. And I can't help but notice when we were talking about it, your eyes lit up a lot more when you talked about four generations that have been visiting Mountain Harbor Resort. Because you're a family-owned resort, that's got to make your heart feel pretty good.
You know, just hearing you ask me about that makes me smile. We are a family resort. Two of my children work with me. The management team and I literally have grown up together. Some of us have worked together 40 years, Neil, and most of us have worked together at least 30. And all of our children have grown up at the resort. When I walk in the dining room, you know, one of the challenges with the lodge restaurant is we want it to be special and a little different every year, but we don't want to change it because the folks that come in want to come back to the Lodge restaurant. They just do. And I can walk in there now on a weekend night through the week sometimes, walk up to a table, and there are three generations of my customers sitting at that table. And there is a sense of pride and community with that. It's just so special to have the confidence of those folks that they are willing to invest in Harbor and keep coming back year after year after year.
You know, in an earlier podcast with Scott McClard at McClard's Barbecue, he talked about something very similar, that how dangerous it is. He's made very few menu changes over the years because there's generations of people who have enjoyed McClard's Barbecue. And if he changed certain things, he heard from people. So I guess you battle with, how do I stay relevant in an ever-changing world with people want to be able to depend on the Mountain Harbor experience as it was when they were kids?
Well, I think the world of Scott. I've known Scott, you know, he's been in his business, I've been in mine, all of our respective lives, and still love going into his place. And I don't want to walk into a new, glitzy, fancy place. I want to go to McClard's. And I think it's the same at Harbor. Folks want things to be nice. They want things to be high quality. You know, Neil, and I'm not saying for a minute that we do this all the time because we are made up of human beings, but it's business 101. You provide a really, really good product at a fair price and great service. And that's the way Mountain Harbor, that's our heritage, it's our tradition, it's the way we always, always believe. When folks walk in the Lodge restaurant, they're walking into our living room. And we need to and try to always greet them like they're walking into a living room. A kind of a fun story is Chris, my son, who runs Food and Beverage, is 43. And he grew up at the Lodge. And I was a single father back when he was a little bitty, like 18-month-old. And I would open the marina and close the restaurant. And, you know, there weren't departments and there weren't a lot of management team then. So I would be in the dining room in the evening and we'd be busy and I'd be holding Chris with one arm and answering the phone or cashing somebody out or taking a reservation or checking somebody in. And there were times that I just needed both hands. And a lot of the time I would just sit him down on the floor in the dining room and he'd crawl around, and some, always ladies, but some lady would grab him and put him in her lap, and he would sit there and eat French fries, you know, until I could go get him. And that's how Chris grew up. And that's part of that family feeling.
So I got to ask, if Chris were sitting here right now, would he kind of give you, "Dad, don't tell that story," or would he like that story?
I think he'd smile and tolerate me. Is what I think he'd do. I've told it so many times, but I just remember it so vividly. You know, it's just the customers at Harbor also are my best friends and the greatest mentors that I could ask for.
Bill, was there ever a question about whether or not you were going to follow your father into that business?
Yes, in college. You know, I, like any hard-headed, obnoxious kid, I didn't want to do what my dad did. I wanted to go do something else. And I worked at school some, but it was always in the food service business. I mean, you know, working in a restaurant here or there. And when, and Dad was in financial trouble during those times. And it came down to one day that I either went back to work at Mountain Harbor and tried to work with him to keep the place or not have the place. And I mean, literally, Neil, that happened over about a 2-day period, and I had to do one or the other. I had to make up my mind right then, and without hesitation, I came back to Harbor, went to work with Dad, and I've been there ever since. And that was December of 70.
Now, you mentioned your son and daughter work there now. Was there ever a question, but that they were going to follow in the family footsteps?
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, they viewed Harvard the same way that I did with my dad. And there were times. I mean, Stephanie has been back since November, but she worked at Harvard about 15 years ago and then was gone for 13 and a half, 14 years doing other jobs, which I think made her better at what she's doing now. Chris left, worked generally in food and beverage, but he was gone for a while before he came back. So they, and I think it's important that kids do that, Neil. I'm not sure it would have been as good if they had just evolved into Mountain Harbor without going out and gaining some away from Harbor perspective. I think it's better for them.
For the typical family that comes, especially repeat families that come visit, Bill, what's a few days at Harbor generally like for them in terms of activity? What's the average 2 or 3 days include if you're vacationing at Mountain Harbor?
I really like the questions you're asking. A lot of them have a lot of just perspective to them. One of the things we've tried over the years, over all the years, because Harbor's 64 years old now, we're offering programs and things for customers. And almost to a program, they didn't work. What we found over the years, and that's not to say we won't try something in the future, but what we found is when folks come to Harbor, one of the most important things to them is that they not have a schedule and that they not have stuff that they kind of feel like they ought to go look at or go do because it's offered, as opposed to just what they want to do. So families that come in, they'll catch their breath the first night. Maybe they'll have a boat rented for the next day or two. Very, very routinely, the lady has at least one spa service booked at Turtle Cove Spa, because that's pampering them is, you know, pampering the ladies is very important. So they come as a family, they play as a family. One of the things that, whether it's a guest staying with us that's renting a lodging unit, or our regular customers that have a boat or a condo or a house or a mobile home, it's important to them that the family stay together and play together. There are so many options, Neil, for adults on things to do every night and especially on weekends, and for kids to do every night and especially on weekends. So many times, and I mean literally a lot of times, moms and dads have told me, Bill, one of the values of Harbor is we held or are holding our family together and we're all playing together. Now, that doesn't mean the kids can't bring friends. And that doesn't mean that mom and dad don't go up to the restaurant for dinner by themselves or over to a friend's place for an evening. But the families stay together and they play together. And I've had more than one say that Harbor, because of that, has held the family together and in some cases maybe saved the family.
Do you get to play on the lake at all?
You know, all right, now I'm going to tell everybody, you're sitting over there grinning at me and laughing because you know the answer is going to be not really very much. I haven't really scheduled a lot of playing time in the lake for the last 30 years. But before you get sarcastic, I bought an old cruiser, an old 32-foot 73 model that had been abandoned down at Brady Mountain almost 20 years ago, remodeled it. And the last 10 years, I probably haven't used it 30 hours. But I started using her again this year a little bit, and I plan on using her more. I had forgotten, you know, I've talked a lot today about the serenity of Lake Ouachita and sanctuary. Neil, I had forgotten what it was like to sit out in front of the lodge at 9 o'clock, 9:15, watch the sunset, and then just watch the stars for a while and drift, or go down the lake toward Crystal or Brady and tie off on the bank and just sit on the stern of the boat and just breathe, feel the breeze and breathe and not hear anything but the lap of the waves.
And you're really leading me to where I was going to go with that question, is that clearly one of the reasons that people, families love coming to Ouachita is the ability to unplug, if you will. So if you own a resort and you're responsible for other people's ability to unplug, where do you go when you want to unplug? And I don't mean just for a day, but where does a resort owner go on vacation?
I normally don't. And let me answer it this way. God has so blessed me because I love what I do. I love every day at Harbor. I love it because of the wonderful people I work with. And now this isn't a sales pitch. I mean, this is genuinely where I am. I love the people I work with. I love the families, the generations of folks that I've served. Neil, every day's exciting to me. Now, not every day ends up being a fun day, but every day is exciting, and I thank God every day that I get to be there. What I am trying to do, because this is my 48th year to be there full time, is I'm trying to get away some. One of the things I want to do, being on Parks and Tourism Commission, I want to go to every state park and just hang out there, not to go inspect or test or do anything, just to go enjoy one of Arkansas state parks. So my plan is to go to a bunch of state parks. I love to fly. I've got a little airplane, and I have flown, well, last week flew over to see an old high school friend of mine that I lived with sometimes in high school. So it's to go visit old friends, to go to state parks, and later on down the line, maybe in the very near future, just go somewhere else, wherever that is. You know, it's kind of like when Enterprise took off, you know, we were just going to go out that-a-way somewhere.
Let me wrap up with come back to a Lake Ouachita question, Bill, because you know the lake so well. People who come to Lake Ouachita and obviously don't know it as well as you, what's the secret on Lake Ouachita that you share with people? What's the place you say, hey, when you get on the boat, you got a couple of days while you're here, make sure you go see this?
I can't answer that because there isn't a this for me. If when you come to Lake Ouachita, if you've come to spend time with the family or to fish or the water sports, the wakeboard boats and all that stuff, the beauty of Lake Ouachita is it offers such a variety of opportunities and options. It really kind of has to be settled on and developed by the desires of the individuals. I mean, we have a ton of families that come now with these new wakeboard boats, and Ouachita offers big expanses of clear, deep water where they can run those boats. The fishermen, Ouachita still offers, you know, walleye, stripers, bass, crappie, catfish, brim. You can go out. Used to, the guides wouldn't fish in the summer because fishing was so tough. Guides fish year-round now because they can always catch fish. So for the fishermen, scuba divers, you know, Ouachita is one of very few lakes approved by Game and Fish for game fish spear fishing through the summer. You know, that's very, very rare. And so for the scuba divers, there are game fish spear fishing times through the summer. It's just, and, you know, more and more you see party barges, Neil, everywhere. And for the folks that just want to go down the lake and relax, it's 47 miles long. There are an infinite number of coves where you can ride for a while. You can tie off and have a picnic. Ouachita can be, for everybody that comes, what they want it to be because it offers so much.
I will never be far from you. You're in my blood and I know you'll always be. Arkansas, Arkansas, you run deep in me.
My thanks to Bill for all of his time. By the way, Bill is now in the Arkansas Tourism Hall of Fame, having been inducted just earlier this year.
So now we've reached the use-by portion of our podcast. Every week we talk about things you can do in the coming weeks here in the Spa City, but you may not be hearing this podcast until much later in the calendar. So the use-by date on the following information is Labor Day 2019. If you're listening in September or beyond, at the sound of the bell, just feel free to skip ahead to another episode or something else you want to do because the coming information will be dated. So if you're leaving us now, thanks again for listening, and I hope you both share this podcast with a friend and feel free to leave a comment or a review. Reach us on Twitter at HSThisWeek. Now, our regular list of things you can enjoy if you're visiting Hot Springs in the coming weeks. Please meet my colleague from our sister station, 105.9 KLAZ. We do this together with Jennifer Bailey. So as I said, we like to run down the things you can do in the coming weeks here in the Hot Springs area. And as always, we welcome back, actually, Jennifer Bailey, who was not here last week. She was on holiday, as we said. So, Jennifer, welcome back.
I was chilling by the river. It was a beautiful thing.
Good for you. You get started this time.
Well, this happens every full moon through October, and no, it does not involve werewolves. It's the full moon ride at the Northwoods Trail. It's a no-drop ride for beginners and intermediate riders. You can meet at the trailhead at 6 p.m., bring your own bike. It's a free ride with grilling and music afterwards. There will be future rides in September and October as well.
We'll keep you up to date on those. Weekend of the 16th, so this weekend, the first annual Arkansas Tattoo Convention is at the Arlington Hotel. If you're into body art or ink, the promoters say they'll have some of the most renowned body art artists from around the country. And apparently you can just go there and get inked the way you want. Pre-sale registration, $20. Full information at their website, ArkansasTattooFiesta.com.
I've never managed to get up the nerve to get a tattoo. Have you?
I've never managed to get up the nerve to think about getting up the nerve, so no.
Maybe we need to go to the convention, Neil.
I'll work on getting up the nerve.
Good luck with that. Model aviation enthusiasts, take note. August 17th, that's this Saturday, it's a fun fly to celebrate National Model Aviation Day. It's going to be at Cedar Glades Park. If you want to fly, pilot registration is $20, and that includes lunch. Flying starts at 9 a.m. and goes until 2 p.m. They have a website for more information, nationalmodelaviationday.org.
That should be fun to go out and see. I've always wanted to be able to do that.
Absolutely.
So we've always had the Hot Springs Blues Festival and the Jazz Festival. This year they're at the same time, August 29th through September 1st at various spots around Hot Springs. A little sampler, you can hear the Spa City Stompers. There'll be a jazz night at the Ohio Club. The Air Force Jazz Ensemble will be in town. They are so good.
Wow.
Couple of different websites for information. HSJazzSociety.org if you want to find out about the jazz stuff. If you want to find out about the blues music, it's SpaCityBlues.org.
Remember the song YMCA?
Sure,
YMCA. Yeah, well,
the letters of your arms.
Oh, yeah. The Village People are coming to town August 31st. I can't wait for this.
Lock up your children.
It's more like lock up your grandparents, wouldn't that be?
Yeah, because you don't want to see Grandma doing the dance steps to that.
And maybe you don't. I'm totally down with it. But August 31st, you're going to see everybody doing it at Magic Springs. Now, you do need park admission for the day. Either buy a day pass or use your season pass. But that gets you into the concert free that night to do the YMCA with the rest of Hot Springs.
All I can remember is the guy who dresses up like an Indian. I can't remember what the other guys are dressed up like.
There was a police officer,
right,
a construction guy, and the biker guy that wore like all leather.
Right. You kind of want to sing the song right now, don't you?
Oh, I'm totally down. YMCA.
Just when I thought I could stop her. No. Okay.
Nope.
Looking way ahead, the 14th annual Hot Springs Motorcycle Rally is September 5th through the 7th. We'll talk about that more in a coming podcast episode. Also, remember lots of different things at some of the other pay venues in town. The Hot Springs Bathhouse Dinner Theater has a variety of shows coming up. And I want to point out some of the folks we've talked to in previous podcasts. They're great places to visit. Our very first podcast was with Scott McClard at McClard's Barbecue. If you subscribe, you can go back and find out about the 91-year history of McClard's Barbecue. If you go there, get the spread.
One of the best tasting podcasts ever.
Thanks. And then if you wanted Superior Bathhouse Brewery, it's the only brewery in a national park. We had a podcast with Rose Schweikart, who owns that. We talked about DeLuca's. We've been to the Gangster Museum, the Baseball Trail. So, and of course, last week's podcast, lots of listens to this, Louis Sella from Oaklawn. So there's so many things to do. Jennifer, thanks.
Thank you so much, Neil.
Thanks, Jen. Remember that Hot Springs has a tremendous website where you can get all sorts of information if you're visiting Hot Springs. It is hotsprings.org. You'll find many of the events we just talked about, plus others further out into the year. You'll find special deals, information on restaurants and hotels. So feel free to check out that website. Again, it is hotsprings.org. Now, our regular notes from Entergy having to do with water. Looks like from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday is when you can think about flows. As all of these projections are made a week out, be sure to check out Entergy's Facebook page. So here it comes, facebook.com/lifeonthelakes. You can also find a recorded message for current flow information from Entergy at 501-844-2125. That's a great place to get information on the lakes or the Ouachita River if you're coming our way. As Entergy points out, we're in a weather pattern now where we can expect sudden afternoon showers, even thunderstorms, without notice. So keep an eye to the sky and stay safe. So that's a wrap on episode 10. Again, thanks for listening. My thanks to Jennifer Bailey, to the folks at Entergy Hydro, and especially Bill Barnes up at Mountain Harbor Resort on Lake Ouachita. Also, thanks for your comments and your reviews. You can reach out to us on Twitter at HSThisWeek. You'll also find us on Facebook. Until next week, we hope you'll enjoy your visit to Hot Springs. This is a presentation of KZNG News Talk Radio right here in America's First Resort. Thank you.